Thank you so much. That's great. Sorry about the technical issues we had this morning. You know, week in, week out, we provide stream services in this church. And I know you flick onto YouTube and it feels very easy and simple. But you know, it's incredibly complex to deliver live services week in, week out. And I don't know about you, but I know with my tech, with my phone or my computer, every other day virtually, you're trying to sort something out that seems to not quite be working. And we have a vast array of switches and buttons, hundreds of them actually, and you know, one can get flicked and then suddenly things go awry, and we have to solve that and work through that. And I appreciate all that the volunteers, because people aren't technically trained. They're volunteers who come in and do this week out, week in. And again, I mean, I was just talking to the Mackays, and they were just saying, you know, every week it's so easy, it seems so straightforward. But believe me, it actually requires quite a lot of effort. So I appreciate everything that everyone does to ensure our services. And I hope the church does as well, in just delivering this experience of worship Sunday by Sunday. We're going to be looking at the second part of our vision series and really stewardship series, because we consider our finances in relation to our vision. And we have our gathering coming up on the 27th of February, where at 9:30, where we'll be looking at the budget. But we like to do that in the context of vision and what's happening in terms of the different spheres of the church. And so this series really dovetails with that event to some extent, but also a gift day in March, where we ask people to consider how they are going to support and the way that they are supporting the life of the church and its ministry. You know, one of the things that's happening in the midst of this coronavirus, in the midst of this crisis, is that many are beginning to wonder what life might look like afterwards. And you know, we're hearing lots of social commentators at the moment, we're hearing experts and various others talking about what is it going to be like. But some people are asking, might this be a chance to create a new normal, a different way of living, maybe recalibrate some of our values and some of our thoughts? You know, as a church and as Christians, I guess as we stand on the precipice of seeing the transition from this experience of lockdown into something else, you know, we need to be asking, you know, what part do you think that we are going to play, you are going to play, and what part can our church play in reshaping society? Now, I spoke last week about the real danger of churches becoming so introspective that all their vision and energy and effort is just spent in reorganizing themselves, rather than actually impacting the community and ensuring that ministries that do that are resourced and effectively energized by the people and by the staff. You know, the reality is, and again, we can't hide from this reality, that the post-COVID world is going to be a very challenging world. Things probably are not going to go back to normal in the way that we suggested they could. There's going to be economic consequences. Can we move the slides? Thanks. There's going to be economic consequences. I mean, we see in terms of the challenge of a post-COVID world that there are consequences for the church. Sorry. And again, there are going to be consequences for the church. That you know, churches are going to face a crisis. And I talked even in terms of our own experience that our open offerings last year went from £76,000 to £13,000. And although that's offset by various other things that you'll hear about at the gathering, this has impact. And this is going to have a massive impact on Christian communities across the country. And thankfully, because of some of the things that have happened in the last year, and although they've been painful things, the church is actually in a position, a financial position, which is relatively strong comparative to other churches, to address and engage with a post-COVID society. But we have not yet seen as a society the economic consequences running through our society. You know, we've spent a lot of energy in a short-term gain in terms of trying to defeat a virus, which it doesn't look like we're going to have defeated, but we're going to have to live with in some way or other. Recognizing that there is going to be massive long-term consequence. And that long-term consequence has not arrived yet. I believe at the end of March, evictions can begin to happen for people who haven't been paying their rent. Experiences of debt are going to become normative as people engage in relation to unemployment. Probably youth unemployment is going to be at unprecedented levels. I heard this week that our economy has performed the worst it has in 300 years. I mean, that's remarkable if you think about that. If you take into account events like the Great Depression of the 1920s. You know, there are things happening in our culture where the marginalized are becoming increasingly marginalized. There are strains on family life. Abuse is increasing. We have a scenario where we actually are facing a society which is going to have some massive challenges to confront. And yet, during the COVID crisis, we've been learning and we've been considering this whole thing of life over stuff, and actually we've actually seen some really positive things. We were talking last week about the food bank that we had at the Haven through the first lockdown, and in fact at Christmas, the £4,500 that we raised just to fund and support people who are on the margins. And you know, and I know in many places there's been a newfound urgency, and I know that there are a lot of stories of what people have done to find and support those who are lonely and isolated, and a willingness amongst many people to give up their time and their resources to support others. And we've seen something modeled of a kind of new altruism, a new care for neighbors, and a desire to actually set aside our own material interests in the interests of others. And the question is, you know, as we go into a post-COVID world, what are we going to do in terms of our material resources? What are we going to do in terms of our lifestyles? Are we going to just go back to the way it was? Or are we actually going to learn some lessons and actually think about what we can describe as putting life over stuff, other people's lives over our stuff? Here in Nehemiah was facing a challenge with the people. You see, in this story in chapter 5, we see a story of hunger and economic exploitation threatening the very nature of the community itself. Nehemiah, in the story of Nehemiah, moves from the external threats to the internal threat within the community. And what the internal threat was the way that people were using their finances. You see, some of the community, in order to pay the taxes, in order to accommodate the rebuilding, were suffering financially. And in verse 1, we see actually wives coming forward and saying, "Do you realize what's happening to our families in terms of these new financial pressures that we are finding ourselves subject to? We're having to sell our lands and in order to pay things, in order to pay the bills, in order to meet those monthly requirements." And they said, you know, it gets so bad that we're not just selling our goods and our land, but actually we're ending up selling our children into slavery. And we see this horrific situation, an economic decay within the community itself. But then we learn as we move beyond verse 5 that actually the perpetrators of this economic inequality and exploitation are actually other members of the community. You see, Nehemiah is confronted with the reality that it is those who have who are exploiting those who have not. And as you read the story in the English translations, it looks like it's about the charging of interest that's going on the money that is being lent to members of the community to help offset their debts. But actually, it's not about the lending of money, because what's happening was appropriate within the community and the use of money was appropriate. What was happening was that those who were lending the money to others were being hard-hearted. And so when others couldn't repay the money, they were demanding the fields and the children be sold into slavery. And Nehemiah says, not that the economic practices were wrong and what people were doing with their money was necessarily wrong, but the community had become hard-hearted. They had become indifferent to the plight of others within the community. And as we read this story, Nehemiah really flags up three very important things that we need to learn. First of all, we are all interconnected. You know, that we share as a community the challenges and economic challenges that confront us all. And that means whether you're staying in the best parts of town or whether you're staying in the worst parts of town, and you're part of this community, we have a shared responsibility and accountability to one another. And not just within the community of the church, but actually beyond the community of the church. You know, as shops shut, as restaurants shut, as young people find employment difficult to achieve, we as a church are connected to that. We're not indifferent to that, but we are engaged with that. We cannot come Sunday by Sunday and worship here and say, we're all right, Jack. Well, our community suffers economically. As a church, we must engage with this. And Nehemiah, it's interesting, initially, you see Nehemiah's reaction in verse 6 was that he got really angry, and then he realized anger doesn't achieve anything. And the Hebrews suggest he had to rein it in and come up with some kind of rational, reasoned plan about how to respond to what he was seeing happening economically within the community. The second thing that he was challenged over was that the poor are getting poorer. One of the shocking things that we have seen in relation to COVID is that social divides have been increasing. You know, on a superficial level, I found that there have been two experiences out there in terms of COVID. Some people have loved it. They've managed to get furlough. They've been paid. And they've managed to do things that they've always wanted to do in terms of their lives, you know, sort that study, do that album, and it's been okay, COVID, for them. Then there have been others who have been working, and those who have been working, I was just talking to some people this week, the stress and the strains of COVID are increasingly harrowing. People are exhausted, whether they're working in health centers or in hospitals, or whether they're working in terms of finances or medical supplies. The demands are increasing and increasing, and everything's done online, which brings unprecedented stresses and strains. And people are just tired and exhausted, and more is being asked of them. But here's the difference, and there's another difference that's been happening in terms of COVID. Those who are on the margins economically, so not usually your white-collar workers, not generally your middle-class professionals, not the majority of us within SBC, have been doing okay economically in this situation. In fact, in some ways, they've found that they have more disposable income because they haven't been buying all the things that they usually buy. They haven't been going out and having all the meals that they usually go out and have. They haven't been going on the holidays that they haven't. And they've been doing economically relatively well. They're the people who have been funding all this buying online for giants like Amazon, groups like Amazon that pay very little tax in relation to our economy, where all our shops are getting shut down locally. Something, again, that's going to have consequences for our culture as we go forward. And yet what's been happening in COVID is that the divide between the haves and the have-nots has been increasing. And again, for the haves, it's very easy for us to say, we're okay. You know, it's fine. We're okay economically. And, well, it's a shame that all these economic consequences are going to happen to all these others. But, you know, we just have to live with that. I want to suggest that if you count yourself as a have, and it's really interesting in verse 10 here, that Jeremiah actually says, I and my brothers. Nehemiah doesn't just go to the nobles and say, you guys have a problem. He actually says, I'm part of the problem here. You know, I've been lending money to these people. I've been actually supporting and sustaining this economic inequality that I am seeing in my community. And he said, you know, I've got to own this. And I want to suggest if you are in the haves, we have to own what has been happening to the have-nots. We have to actually engage with this as a community of God's people and say, you know, what does this mean for us in terms of our material prosperity? And do we need to recalibrate this in some radical ways to adjust the kind of social inequalities that we are going to see in relation to the next few years? The third thing that we see in this passage is that indifference is not an option. As I've already explained, Nehemiah was angry, not because of what people were doing. The economic practices that were going on actually were just normal economic practices. They weren't wrong in and of themselves. But what was wrong was that the hardness of hearts of the nobles was creating an indifference which was perpetrating the economic oppression and marginalization. And you know, as a church, we cannot be indifferent to the economic challenges that are facing us. One of the things that you'll notice in terms of HSBC as we come to the different spheres is that our community sphere has more staff than any other sphere. And you'll hear next week about FLC, but we have people that are employed by the Family Life Center. We have people employed up at the Haven. We have people employed in relation to CAP. We have a number of people working to actually improve the economic lives of individuals and the emotional lives of individuals out with the church community. And it's one of the biggest areas in terms of staffing that we have. But you know, that is an appropriate response, not only to what we've had, but what we are going to have. And again, as a community, if we are going to truly engage with our community, then that resource, community at SBC, and as we look at forming a more integrated sense of community and reaching into our community, we are going to need to develop that more. Now, at the moment, we try and find some external funding for some of the roles and some of the things that we do. In fact, I sent off an application this week. But you know, the truth is that the community itself needs to fund this. And again, it's part of what we come up to in relation to a gift day, as we think about what this church is going to do in terms of its community. And the fact is that some of the work that is done in the community cannot be done by volunteers. The intensity of what is required cannot be done. It's not like many of the areas within the life of the church that can be done by volunteers. And we need people, and we need vibrant, vital, resourced, well-resourced ministries to be impacting our community. You know, we have a future vision for 63A and that whole building next door in terms of reaching out into our community. And if we're going to realize that vision, if we're actually not going to be indifferent and say, we're okay, Jack, let's come to church on Sunday morning and sing our songs, and it's good to see our pensions are still coming in the way that they used to come in. It's good to see our incomes are still coming in the way that they used to. And it's a shame about our society, and it's a shame about the marginalized who live around this church. And it's a shame about youth unemployment, and it's a shame about these things. But you know what? We're okay, and we can praise God. You know, if that is the attitude of the church going into a post-COVID world, we will become increasingly irrelevant. But if as a church we say we refuse to be indifferent to this, if we say that we are going to be part of the economic reshaping of our culture and our society, if we say as a church we are going to actually respond to what is going to be happening in our communities economically, and we're going to be at the center of addressing the needs and the disparity within our culture And yes, it might require sacrifice on our part, but most importantly, it may require developing a softer heart, which just doesn't say, I'm okay. It's a shame about them, but bless you. But requires us to actually say, you know what, we need to change in order to address what's happening in our world. I think that's what Nehemiah called for, and it's interesting at the end, he knew that the sentiment wasn't just enough for the nobles to say, yes, we'll do something about it, yes, we recognize there's a need. And he actually, the end of the story is that he gets them to sign up and take an oath and say, sign on the dotted line, folks. Don't just say yes. Make something practical happen in terms of your life. You know, we have a gift day coming up, and that's a start, but you know, it will be more than just the gift day. It will require us looking at our use of money. It will require a new degree of altruism in the way that we live and the way that we give, which was unprecedented before COVID. We as a church need to consider what God is calling us to as we move into this post-COVID world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I just pray for us now as a church community. I pray for us as a wider society. And Lord, as we think about the consequences and the economic consequences of COVID in the lives of individuals, Lord, I pray that we would not be an indifferent people. Lord, help us to actually engage with our community. Help us through the ministries that we have within this church to engage with our communities, to address the disparities. Lord, to be a people who actually demonstrate not a hard-heartedness or a contentment at being okay in ourselves, but Lord, a desire to address the needs of those that we see around us. Lord, give us your heart. We ask this in your name. Amen.